and turn to Revelation. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation 19, verse 10. Revelation 19, verse 10. I'm glad you came today. If you don't have a Bible, we'd be glad to give you one. Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. This morning, I want to talk to you about falling at his feet. Falling at his feet. Brother Billy, would you pray for us? Billy Burgess, pray for us. Amen. I'm not going to tell you to turn there, but if you want to, Matthew 28:9 says, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Now listen to me. Can y'all hear me? Can y'all hear me? Is anybody cold? I want to get all this out of the way. Anybody hot? Switch places. Deborah, dance. Dance, Deborah. Amen. Listen. Here's two accounts in the Bible of falling. Falling at the feet. John fell at the feet. Listen, I want to read you some scripture and I want to preach to you today. Listen, pay attention. You kids sit up and listen. If you got phones, put them up, turn them off. If you got iPads, turn it off. You're not going to need it. I want you to listen to me. Listen, at his feet. In John chapter 10, the Bible says that we are in his hands. In Luke chapter 15, it says, as a shepherd, he carries us on his shoulders. Again in John, it says that John leaned on his bosom, or in his heart, is what that means. He leaned to his heart. Now, the best figure of speech when it comes to meeting with the Lord and interacting with the Lord and having anything to do with the Lord is at his feet. At his feet. Now, I'm glad that the Lord has me in his hands. Amen. He said, you're in my hand, my hand's in the Father's hand, no man can pluck you out. That makes me happy. I'm eternally secure. I am glad that when I do fall, he picks me up like a good shepherd and puts me across his shoulder. He don't say, here, hold my finger, little sheep. Put your mouth on my finger and follow me. No, sir. When I fall, he picks me up and he throws me across his shoulder and he carries me. Amen? Amen. I'm glad he does that. I'm glad that I can lean on his bosom as a child would lean on the bosom of his mother and get love. I'm glad I can lean on his bosom. But the greatest thought, I think, in the Bible is where it says they fell at his feet. John 20:12 says, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one on the head, the other at the feet where the body of Jesus laid. Matthew 15:30 says, and great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. I like that. I think the greatest term about me and my relationship with Jesus Christ is at his feet. When I was saved that day, I fell at his feet. So I want to show you just four or five little things about falling at the feet of Jesus Christ. And I really believe everybody in here is covered in these verses. I don't believe anybody would be left out. So listen. Are you listening? Look at me, young people. Look up here. Look up here. Turn around and look at me. Don't play with your phones and stuff. Look at me. You need this. You'll be glad you got it one day, okay? Now, in John chapter 12, if you want to turn there, verse 3, very familiar story. Most of you already know it. John chapter 12, verse 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now, the first thing I want you to see, here's a sinner at the feet of Jesus. Amen. She's come in, she's been a sinner, she's been a wicked sinner, and the Lord Jesus allowed her to come to his feet and to pour a very precious ointment and to anoint his feet with that ointment. And listen, she had her hair down. That was a sign of an unclean woman. That was a sign of a loose living woman. And she had her hair down and she wiped his feet with her hair. Now, that's a sinner at the feet of Jesus. This woman didn't care what anybody else thought about what she was doing. She was coming to the Savior and falling at his feet. Let me tell you something, sinner. Here's how you get saved. You fall at the feet of Jesus. You said, but wait a minute, preacher, I got to join church. No, you don't. You fall at the feet of Jesus. You say, but wait a minute, preacher, I've got to get baptized. No, you don't. You fall at the feet of Jesus Christ. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher, I got some habits and hobbies and things that I ought not be doing. I got to quit that first. No, sir, you come to the feet of Jesus. You fall at the feet of Jesus. You don't come saying, I got better, so I'm here. You come down there and you say, I ain't worth killing. That's why I'm here, you know. I'm not worthy to touch your feet. I'm not worthy to go to heaven. And I come asking for mercy, not justice. Boy, these people running around here shouting about justice and carrying signs for justice. I'm glad I ain't getting justice. Amen. I'm glad I fell at the feet of Jesus Christ one day and I said, there's nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. I fell at the feet of Jesus Christ and I wept my way into the kingdom of God that day. You said, but wait a minute, preacher. I'm a Presbyterian. I don't care if you're a Baptist or Methodist. I don't care what you are. You need to come to Jesus Christ. And you need to fall at his feet. And every sinner, like this unclean woman Mary, and later on you'll see where God changed her life. But listen, this woman, she didn't come there and say, look how pretty I am. You need to save me. No, she didn't. She didn't come and say, look how educated I am. Look how cultured I am. Look how cleaned up I got before I got here. No, sir, she came and she fell at the feet of Jesus Christ and was born again. It'd shock you how many people, Billy, belong to churches and don't know what born again is. They have no idea. But wait a minute, preacher, I prayed a prayer one time. Did you fall at the feet of Jesus or did you pray for the deacon? Did you pray for the preacher? Did you pray because they warned you to? Or did you see yourself as a hell-bound sinner without hope and ran to the Lord Jesus Christ and fell at his feet? Amen? There's a lot of difference between making a profession and receiving a possession. That day, she received Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. Look, she didn't come to get baptized. She didn't come to join anything. She didn't come to turn over a new leaf. She didn't come to say anything good about herself. She saw herself as a hell-bound sinner, rightly deserving so, as we all are deserving so. And she realized what she was, and she ran to Jesus Christ, and she didn't care what that house was full of people. She didn't care what they thought. Sometimes people tell me, well, preacher, I would come down the aisle, but I'd just have to ask people to get out of the way. I'd push them. I'd run over top of them. I'd jump a pew. I'd do whatever I had to do to get to Jesus Christ. Brother Billy, that day, 6th pew on the left, Eastside Baptist Church, wasn't nobody getting in my way. If they'd got in my way, they'd have got run over. I wanted to get saved. Amen? I wanted to be born again. And the way you do that is you fall at the feet of Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, I'm a pretty good person. No, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Amen. All we like sheep have gone astray, every one of us. Listen, it doesn't take but one sin to qualify you to be a sinner. Right. All it takes, one. It only takes one to take you to hell. Amen. Only one. Only one to block the gate of heaven. Only one sin, that's all it takes. You say, well, I used to say it. Well, preacher, I never robbed a bank or anything. He said, it don't matter, you're a sinner. I said, but wait a minute, preacher, I ain't never hurt nobody. I don't kill people. What I do hurts me. He said, I don't have nothing to do with it. You're a sinner. You need to be saved. It only takes one sin to qualify you to be saved. And you, when you realize that, Some people say, well, how old do you have to be to get saved? Some people, they give all kind of dumb answers. Some will say 12, some will say 13. No, the day that you realize, the day that the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God exposes in your heart and your mind that you're a sinner, that's the day you need to be saved. You might be 5 or 6 years old. You may be 56 years old. But the day that He exposes to your heart that you're a sinner, you better run to the feet of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, people, I do it. I'll take scriptures and show people how to be saved, and then I'll say, just pray and ask Him, and I'll even help them pray if they want me. But you know what? That didn't save them. You didn't get saved till you realized you was a sinner, hell-bound sinner. And the day that the fear of God come in that day, and that day, listen, you ran to the fire escape, and His name's Jesus Christ, and you fell at His feet, and you begged Him to save you and to forgive you of your sins, and here's Mary, a perfect example of a lost sinner going looking for a Savior. Now, a sinner fell at His feet. Then I want you to notice another one. In Luke chapter 10, verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. You know the story. Mary and Martha, Lazarus was dead. You know, some women, they work hard and they're good women. But Mary's sister got so busy doing things that she forgot who she was doing them for. And boy, it's easy doing church work. That's easy. I do that sometimes. We get so busy doing things, we forget the one that we're doing it for. And so here's Mary and Martha and Lazarus today. And Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet. Amen? And do you know what that tells me? Here's Mary, a mature Christian. She knows she's saved. She knows she's going to heaven. She has been to the feet of Jesus already, as we've already read. And now she's sitting and listening and learning. And look, it's not TV, it's Jesus' feet. And it's not church work, it's Jesus' feet.
Amen.
She's not looking to have fun, she's sitting at Jesus' feet. She's learning, she's growing. Church, Sunday school, Bible study, prayer, three to thrive. That's a mature Christian. So y'all get tired of me saying that, but I've got news for you. It's the truth, and that's why I keep saying it. If you're going to be a mature Christian, you're going to have to sit at His feet a lot.
Amen.
Amen. You can't run down to church for 30 minutes on Sunday and sit at His feet for 30 minutes and expect to be a healthy Christian spiritually. You're not going to get it. You're going to be spiritually anemic. You know what anemic is? That's when you don't eat right, so therefore your blood's not right. Well, let me tell you something. A mature Christian spends a lot of time at the feet of Jesus Christ. Hey, I've been at His feet in here. I've been at His feet in every room in here. I've been at His feet in every room in my house. I've been at His feet out in the woods by myself. I've been at His feet at the cemetery. I've been at His feet at the hospital. I've been at the feet in Bible study. I've been at His feet in every way in my life. I've tried to stay at the feet of Jesus. You know why? Because I need it.
Amen.
I need it. I'm not the best Christian in here. I need to pray more than some of you do. I'm not the best Christian. I'm probably not the most mature Christian in here. I need to grow more. And the way I do that is I get to His feet. Anywhere. We drove an hour the other night to go up to Gaffney. And hear a preacher preach. And somebody say, well, I wouldn't drive an hour. Some people won't drive 15 minutes. Amen. There's some meetings coming up. We're going to get a crowd up and take them up to Burlington, North Carolina. That's about 2.5 hours. Am I right? It's about 2.5 hours. I candidated for a church up there. That giant tent meeting is going to be back. It lasted, 8 weeks last time, something like that. Thousands of people getting saved. Thousands of people shouting it out. You say, preacher, I don't believe in that. Well, you sit down here at CBS feet or NBC feet, or Sin to the Max feet, or what, any other kind of channel I can't think of right now because I'm taking cold medicine. But listen, you sit at whoever's feet you want to, but I'll drive 2.5 hours to sit at Jesus' feet for 1.5 hours. Amen? Amen. You go ahead and you lay out on Wednesday night if you want to. But I'm going to be at His feet. Now, a mature Christian spends a lot of time. Now, listen, a sinner gets saved. That's wonderful. But that's just the beginning. Boy, that day you got saved, you could have chopped down a tree with the Bible. You're a powerful man. And 2 weeks later, you knew one Bible verse. You thought that you could turn the world upside down with one Bible verse. You're straightening out everybody with that one Bible verse. Amen? But then you grew and you grew. And the only way you're going to grow is to sit at Jesus' feet. Amen? You know it do us well to spend more time. Well, preacher, we'll get so heavenly minded we won't be no earthly good. Well, you're so earthly minded you ain't no heavenly good right now.
Come on, man.
Amen. Come on, preacher, help me. Now, I want you to Luke 8:35. Notice Luke 8:35. Turn there if you will. You say, well, preacher, you just... Luke 8:35. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Now, listen. You say, well, preacher, I'm not mature yet. But are you even a new convert?
Come on, man. Yeah.
I mean, a new convert, hey, a new convert gets excited about sitting at Jesus' feet. You know the story, the Gadarene maniac. The Bible says he lived in the graveyard, and he lived in the caves, the tombs there, and he was demon-possessed with 1,000 demons, and said they would chain him, and he'd break the chains, and he'd run around naked like the rock and the rap singer, and people were afraid of him, you know, and they wouldn't get around him, you know, and he was a wild man. We call him the Gadarene maniac. But his problem wasn't mentally, it was spiritually. Amen? He was full of the devil. And I know some people that's full of the devil. Amen? They may not have 1,000 demons in them, but it don't take but one to mess somebody up. Amen? And you say, preacher, you ought not talk about people like that. Well, your fruits show what you are. Amen? Amen. Now, listen to this. Here's a man. He lived in the graveyard with dead people. Here's a man who his whole family couldn't have anything to do with him. He'd gone crazy. Here's a man that was so inspired by the demons and the devil, he run around naked. I see that at Walmart.
Yeah, come on.
Bunch of wild people. And the Bible says he cut himself. He cut himself. You know, there's the psychiatrist says that's a disease. No, that's a demon, not a disease. He cut himself. He cut himself. And then when Jesus showed up and got off that boat, he ran down there to Jesus, and the demons begged him not to cast the demons out, but he did, and they went and got in a herd of swine, and it says those swine ran. It drove them so crazy, they ran and jumped in the lake and committed suicide. They drowned. They died. And now, I want you to notice, the next time you see this man, he's clothed and he's sitting with his right mind at the feet of Jesus Christ. That would describe you when you first got saved, wouldn't it? And you and me and some of you others. That would describe us, wouldn't it? We were out of control, man. I mean, we were out of control. And wasn't nobody going to tell us what to do. Wasn't nobody going to chain us up. Wasn't nobody going to give us instructions. We was going to do what we wanted to do, and we didn't care what anybody else thought. But then one day Jesus passed by. And boy, when he showed up, we fell at his feet and we asked him to save us, and he gave us a new mind and a new heart and a new spirit and a new family and a new home. And he would say, listen, we were clothed and sitting in our right mind there at Jesus' feet. Y'all got that? Now, why was he doing that, preacher? I'll tell you why. He was sitting down there at Jesus' feet, and he was saying, Lord, I better stay real close to you. I don't want to get full of the devil no more. Lord, I better stay real close to you, because I remember what it was like when I was out of control and I couldn't help myself. Lord, I'm going to stay real close to you, and I don't care what my friends say, and I don't care what my family says, and I don't care what nobody else says. I'm going to get up real close to you, and I'm going to stay down here where if you move, I move, and I ain't moving unless you move. And I'm scared of the devil, and I'm afraid of demons, and I'm afraid to be like I used to be. And I'm sure he's sitting there at the feet of Jesus, and he was thinking, except by the grace of God, I'd already be dead in hell if this man hadn't come by. I never would have made it. I'm going to stay real close to him.
Amen.
Some of you could give that testimony today. I mean, boy, the devil had us. Drugs, alcohol, immorality, meanness. You're just mean. Meanness. Just mean. We're mean. And listen, the Lord came by, and now we're sitting at his feet in our right mind. Amen? Amen. I saw Sister Deborah dancing down the aisle. She's dancing down the aisle, you know. Here's what she was saying. I'm glad I'm at Jesus' feet. Amen? I used to be a maniac, man. I used to be on my way to hell. And the Lord saved me. And he established my going forth. And he put me on a solid rock. Amen, Deborah? Ain't that what you're saying, sis? Amen. Amen. You didn't know it, but that's what it was saying to me. Amen. Amen. Listen, boy, ain't nothing like seeing somebody get saved and get at Jesus' feet. You look at him, you say, glory to God, what a change. You don't see it much anymore like you used to. But boy, people, they'll come in, and or maybe at their house or somewhere, they'll finally, like Mary, fall at Jesus' feet, and they'll weep, you know, their way into heaven, in the way into the will of God, in the way to the Savior, and they'll weep, and they'll cry. And guess what? From now on, that's where you're going to find them.
Amen.
I bet you didn't have to go to the Gadarene maniac. Let's call him GM. I'm sorry, GM, brother. I can't help it if you work for him. But let's, you go over and say, hey, GM, you coming to church? He say, Ron, you won't ever have to come to my house again. I'll be at church every time. Well, GM, you going to get rid of that nasty stuff you've been taking there? Hey, brother, brother Billy, you won't have to worry about me taking that stuff no more. No, sir. I'm sitting at Jesus' feet. I don't need that anymore. Ain't nothing like a new convert. You don't have to beg them or pump them or prime them or anything. Boy, they're ready to go. Hey, let's go to the meeting. Let's go. Well, it's 3 hours away. Let's get started. But it's going to cost us something. I don't care. I used to spend that money on something else. Amen. Boy, at Jesus' feet, when you find people just get saved, ain't it a wonderful thing how he transforms them from one thing to another? You say, preacher, that ain't never happened to me. Maybe you never fell at his feet. Then I got another one, Luke 8:41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus. And he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. Now this man had a sick youngin. And he wanted the Lord to come to his house and heal his youngin. You know what? Jesus, as he's going to this man's house, he goes through a crowd, and this woman touches the hem of his garment. She needed a miracle.
Amen.
And immediately she was healed of that issue of blood that no doctor could ever heal. And just by touching the hem of his garment, she was healed immediately. That woman needed a miracle. Now he's headed to Jairus' house. About halfway, somebody comes and says, it's too late. She's dead. And he looked at Jairus. He said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of that. I'll take care of that. And listen, he went to that house and he raised that little girl from the dead. Now listen, people that need miracles ought to go to Jesus' feet. You don't need a TV preacher. Amen. You don't need that crook over yonder that's preaching in that big old giant building with living in a $10 million house. You don't need that. What you need to do is fall down at Jesus' feet and you'll get a miracle. Any of us who've been saved very long can give you a list of miracles that God has performed in our lives because we fell at the feet of Jesus. We've seen it right here. We've seen the sick healed. We've seen answered to prayers. We've seen sinners saved. A lot of times, you know, you need a miracle at your house. You know, Jesus could have done that right there and not when he did on another occasion. He healed that Roman guy. He healed his child without even going. He said, go on, your faith's healed. But you know what? Every once in a while, we need to invite him into our house and sit at his feet. You know, it used to be when I was growing up, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and I didn't really hang around any real Christians. But even in lost people's house, every house you went in, David, I bet you remember this, you old as I am, probably older than I am. And still drives a convertible. Amen. I bet you remember. Every house you went in, there used to be a coffee table. Everybody had a couch, a couple of chairs, and the TV was not the main focus of that room as it is now. It was a big old family Bible like this. Sitting in every house. Y'all remember that?
Okay.
Every house. Even if they didn't read it, they had a Bible. Everybody had one. Ain't like that no more. We don't even have coffee tables no more. I still drink coffee. I don't know why we don't have a coffee table. But anyway, the TV's the main thing now. But every house you went in, there was a coffee table with a big old King James Bible.
Yep. Yep.
Amen? Mm-hmm. You know why? Everybody knew that wherever you went, anybody's house needed Jesus Christ. Now you go to people's house, and you'll get to Revelation chapter 3, I think it's verse 20. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him. The Bible ain't there because he's outside knocking. We need to be at Jesus' feet at our house. You know, if the only religion you got is right here, you got a poor religion. You know, if this is all the Christianity you have, you've got a pitiful Christianity. Amen? And there's millions of people, that's all they have. He's not at their house, and they need some miracles at their house. Some of you do. There's husbands that need to be saved. It'll take a miracle. There's children that need to be saved. It'll take a miracle. You got finances that need help. That's going to take a miracle. We need to raise our youngins right. That's a miracle. We need to treat our grandparents right. That takes a miracle. We need to live in a sin-cursed world and have a good testimony at our house. That's a miracle. Here's a saint that's needing a miracle. Brother Bill, you need a miracle. That diabetes is getting harder and harder on you. You need a miracle. I pray for you all the time. You need a miracle. Those of you that's raising children, you need a miracle. Don't you sit there and act like it's easy to raise youngins. If it's easy, it's because you ain't doing your job. Amen? It's hard work to be a good parent. It's hard work to be a godly parent. Sometimes you just want to snap them at the neck. Amen. I was in a store one day and this lady was big, nice, healthy lady. Was looking at one of her kids. She was over, that kid was over there looking at stuff and he reached out. That was at Dollar General. And y'all know where I go. And so she said, don't you even think about it. You ain't getting that junk. Leave it alone. That's work. It's work to raise children. I know it's work to raise you. Amen. He's either going to be a good preacher or a bank robber. I don't know which, but I'll tell you one thing. You got a good job. Amen. Work, work. Listen, we need Jesus in our home. We need him at our house. And I wonder if you need a miracle and you go running after every little, boy, people will go to these healing services and all this junk when all you got to do is get at Jesus' feet at home. Invite him in the house. That husband probably won't never get saved till you do. Those children won't get saved probably until you do.
Amen.
You're not going to have what you need until you take him home and you get down his feet and you worship him. Tell him, I need a miracle. Some of you need a miracle. Your house needs a miracle. Your family needs a miracle. Listen, I'm about through. In Luke 17:12, it says, there, and you know the story, I'm, for sake of time, it says there met him 10 men that were lepers. These were sick people. 10 men that were lepers. Now listen, leprosy was a death curse. Once you got leprosy, you were put out of your house. Your family couldn't see. They'd come lay a meal at the door of wherever you was living or the entrance of a cave or something, but they couldn't interact with you. They couldn't touch you. Anytime you went somewhere, you had to put a rag over your mouth when people would come around and you would say, clean, unclean, unclean, I'm a leper, I'm unclean, stay away, stay away. Lost every friend you had. Lost your family. Lost your friends. Lost your profession, your possessions, everything. You lose it all when you become a leper. To gradually die, you just finger fall off, and nose fall off, and ear fall off, and just had running sores all over you, these old pus-filled sores, and you'd wrap rags around them, you know. And then when they'd get full, those lepers, people would leave rags hanging on their fence posts or little trees outside their house. When that leper would come by, he or she would take those pieces of rags and they'd take off them old nasty rags and throw them down, and they'd put that clean rag on there over those sores. And God said that all our righteousness is as those filthy rags. 10 men had leprosy. When they heard about Jesus, they ran to Jesus. They ran to Jesus. And look, verse 16, listen. Verse 16, after he healed them, and after they're gone on their way, it says, as they were going up the road rejoicing. Now remember, they were all healed. Every one of them received a healing. Every one of them was rejoicing that they were healed. But it says one stopped. And he realized who did the healing. And he came back. And look at verse 16. And he fell down at the feet and gave him thanks. Now listen, all of them were healed, but only one was grateful. Amen. Boy, at the feet of Jesus, where you'll find grateful saints. Yes. You know, people come to church and they join the church, make professions, all kinds of stuff, and you got to do all kinds of stuff to keep them coming. If they come 3 times a year, 4 times a year, something like that, Easter's coming up. Christmas, you know, stuff like that. And, boy, they make all kind of professions. But they just not, it don't seem like they're as thankful as they ought to be, because they're not in his will. They're not following him. He delivered some of them from drugs and alcohol. He delivered some of them from immoral relationships. He delivered some of them from sickness and even dying. He delivered some of them. He did a miracle in all of them's life. And they were all thankful at the beginning. But only about 10%, that's what that one was, 10%. Only about 10% ever come back and sit down at his feet and give him thanks. Now let me tell you something. It's 5 after, the Methodist is already in line at the Country Corral or whatever that fancy place he was talking about. And only about 10% come back. Now listen to me. And I've been preaching for 30-something years. This week's my wedding anniversary, 42 years. That's the grace of God right there. She put up with me. But listen, I've seen a lot of people come. I've seen a lot of people go. You've seen them. Boy, they rejoice when he intervenes in their life. They just rejoice. But only about 10% really hold out and sit at his feet regular, thanking him. I don't go to church because I have to. I can go to heaven and not go to church. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you must attend church. It does say, forsake not to assemble thyself together as the manner of some is, even so much the more so as you see that day approaching. We're supposed to go. But I won't go to hell if I don't go to church. I'll go to hell if I don't receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. There's a lot of things I don't do, but I don't. It's not that I don't do those so I'll go to heaven. It's that I don't do those because I'm so thankful to Him.
Glory to God. Yes.
I go to church, sit at His feet.
Amen.
Boy, that choir singing. I was sitting at His feet when they were singing.
Amen. Yeah.
I was sitting at His feet. Amen?
Yeah.
When y'all were singing, I was sitting at the feet of Jesus.
Amen.
Deborah got so happy she got up and left His feet and danced. Amen. Listen, I was sitting at the feet of Jesus. I do it. Why? Because I'm thankful. I ought to be in hell right now. If I started naming the people I grew up with and I lived the same life they did for many years and hung around with them, if I started naming all those people, I don't have enough fingers and toes to tell you how many of those have died early deaths and died and went to a devil's hell. And I'm thankful that God somehow in His infinite grace and mercy looked down and He plucked me out of the fire and He pulled me out of that crowd and He saved me. And I'm no better than they are. I'm no better than they are. So I'm thankful. And I sit at His feet. Let me tell you something, young people. Look at me. Look up here, young people. Look at me. I haven't said amen. We're not praying. Look at me. Look at me. To be an ungrateful child to your parents is probably the low-downest thing you'll ever do. To be an ungrateful child. Your mama, your daddy gave you birth. They brought you in this world. They didn't throw you off somewhere. They brought you in this world. And you say, well, they wasn't that good. Well, they let you live. Amen. Did the best they could. They clothed you. They fed you. They kept you in place to stay. It's a sorry child that will not sit at the feet of their parents and be thankful. You say, you don't know how low down my parents was. They let you live. You ought to thank God you're here. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And it's a low down Christian that will not stop and sit at the feet of Jesus.
Come on, yeah.
And be thankful.
Right.
Come on.
Yeah. Right.
You say, preacher, I ain't ever been here before. I don't like that. Well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's the way it is. I love the Lord, therefore I sit at His feet because I'm thankful for what He's done.
Amen.
He's a grateful saint. And listen, let me tell you something. There was 10 of them. There's 10 of them. But in the end, there's only one of them that was thankful. You could have been born in Pakistan. Hey, you could have been born in Afghanistan. You could have been born in Saudi Arabia or somewhere. Some of you women could have been born in those countries where they make you cover from head to toe and to the fingertips, and they still misuse you and abuse you and everything else. You'll thank God you was born in America. Some of you men, oh, thank God you was born in America. You can be over there right now trying to scrounge up some food for your family in a war-torn country looking through the trash cans trying to find something to eat. You ought to thank God you live where you do.
Amen.
Amen. Some of y'all, look, today, you're sitting in here, and far as I can tell, you're in your right mind. Some may question that. I don't know you that well. But far as I can tell, you're in your right mind. You could be foaming at the mouth, out of your mind, over there in a nursing home or down there. Used to have a state hospital. But you're in your mind and you're able to function. And listen, you got up this morning, you put some clothes on, you dressed yourself, you had something to eat, and you had a church to go to. You ought to thank God. We live in the most ungrateful generation this planet's ever seen. You are entitled to nothing. You're entitled to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and put yourself at His feet and then trust Him for all your needs and everything that you ever will or have needed. Let Him take care of you. That's what you're entitled to.
Amen.
You say, preacher, I don't like that preaching. Well, I don't like your living.
Come on, man.
You say, preacher, you ought not talk like that. Well, when God calls you to preach, you don't talk like that. Until then, it's my job to tell you the truth. And you need, look, you need to be grateful and sit at the feet of Jesus Christ. Did you know everybody can come to the feet of Jesus? Everybody can. Everybody. Sinners, new converts, new mature Christians, those needing miracles. And listen to this. Down is the way up. Down at His feet is the way to get to heaven. Down at His feet is where you get the victory. Down at His feet is where you get healing. Down at His feet is where you get contentment. Down at His feet is where you get happiness. Down at His feet is where you get salvation. And down at His feet is where you get maturity. And down at His feet is where you'll get satisfaction and be happy. The problem with most people, they can't look up because they've never looked down. People look at us and they say, well, preacher, you Baptists, y'all can't have no fun. You can't do nothing. You can't go to the dance hall. And you can't drink liquor. And you can't do dope. And you can't run around. And you can't do this. And you can't do that. Let me tell you something. We're doing exactly what makes us happy.
Amen.
We're sitting at the feet of Jesus. We've been all those other places and found out you come up empty every time. Amen? Amen. But that day, we as sinners fell at the feet of Jesus. We who need miracles fell at the feet of Jesus. We who need maturity fell at the feet of Jesus. Thank God we who are thankful fell at the feet of Jesus. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Oh, what words I hear Him say. Happy place, so near, so precious. May it find me there each day. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, I would look upon the past. For His love has been so gracious, it has won my heart at last. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, where can mortal be more blessed? There I lay my sins and sorrows, and when weary, find sweet rest. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, there I love to weep and pray, while I from His fullness gather grace and comfort every day. Sitting at the feet of Jesus. Have you been there? If you hadn't, you know what? We're going to play music in a minute. We'll give you the opportunity to come up here at the old-fashioned altar. You don't need us. You just need to fall down here and say, Lord Jesus, I need some help. And I've tried everything else. And I've been to everybody else. And Lord, that Bible says if I'd come unto You, You'd give me rest. And I'm coming to You, Lord Jesus. And grab hold of Him. And if you're not saved, you say, Lord, I know I'm not saved, but I'm coming to You for salvation. If you need a miracle, say, Lord, I'm coming to You for a miracle. If you need maturity or happiness, whatever it is you need, you run to Him. Don't let anybody discourage you or get in your way. Push them out of the way. Ask them to move and run to the Lord and grab Him by the feet and say, I'm not going to let You go. I shall not be moved. I'll stay here for the rest of my life at Your feet. Brother Jeffrey, come on. Come on, let's pray, Father.